Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael is off today. I will be filling in for him for the entire show. To all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest sizzling must-read stories. And Michael, if you're listening, my friend, I just want to take the opportunity now to thank you for the wonderful opportunity of filling in for you today. I can't tell you what an honor and a privilege it is, Michael. I always enjoy doing your show, and I can't believe it. I get to do it 2 days in a row. Michael, also congratulations on your book. To all of you out there, I have been reading it now. It's an absolute page-turner. It's going to debut number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. Please go out and buy it. You are A, going to love the book, and B, you are going to send a powerful message, a powerful statement to the liberal elites in America and in Europe that you stand behind Michael Savage, you stand behind his brand of conservative nationalism, and you will now take a stand for America and for traditional values. The story of the day. And there is no getting around it. It is an absolutely explosive story. It is now going everywhere. It is going viral. Are the Democrats now pushing for martial law? In a stunning statement today, the governor of North Carolina, the Democratic governor of North Carolina, Beverly Perdue, was asked about the current national debt crisis, the current national economic crisis. And what did this Democratic official say? Now, this is very important now, and this is a key point. Before I get into what she actually said, this is not some little council member. This is not some woman at her local PTA. This is the governor of North Carolina, who in 2008, after she won election against a Republican rival, the New York Times touted as a potential future presidential candidate. Beverly Perdue is a big name in Democratic circles. She's not some nobody. She came out today and she said, you know, I think for Congress to work together, for politicians in Washington to fix this debt crisis, they have to not worry about the next election. In fact, we should suspend the next election. Why should we have elections for Congress every 2 years? This just distracts politicians. Why do they have to keep worrying about what people are going to say about them or how they're going to vote for them? We should suspend the next election. And this will empower members of Congress to, quote, focus on things that need to be focused on. Right away, after her statements were made and they were picked up by the local papers in Charlotte and across North Carolina, the spin coming from her office and from leading Democratic officials is, a joke. It was a joke. It was a joke. Governor Perdue, Beverly, Bev, as she's known in North Carolina, Bev was just kidding. Members of the Savage Nation, let me read to you exactly her statement. She's asked by one of the constituents as she's doing a little tour, what do you think about the national debt crisis? What should we do? And here's what she said. And I want you to listen very carefully. because I want to ask you this. Do you think she was joking? Does this sound like she's joking? Quote, this is Beverly Perdue. You have to have more ability from Congress, I think, to work together and to get over the partisan bickering and focus on fixing things. I think we ought to suspend, perhaps, elections for Congress for 2 years and just tell them we won't hold it against them, whatever decisions they make, to just let them help this country recover. I really hope that someone can agree with me on that. The one good thing about Raleigh is that for so many years we worked across party lines. It's a little bit more contentious now, but it's not impossible to try to do what's right in this state. You want people who don't worry about the next election. Does this sound to you like she's joking? Doesn't sound to me like she's joking. And here is now the dirty little secret that is no longer a secret. What has Michael Savage been warning about for the last 3 years to all of you? What have I been warning about when I fill in for him for the last 3 years? Is that this man in the White House and the Democratic cabal that surrounds him are at their heart dictators. They are wannabe socialist thugs. And we've heard this before and before from them. You had Jimmy Hoffa, if you remember, come out with a speech on Labor Day, say it's time for us to march. It's time for us to, quote, take those SOBs out, the Tea Party, the opposition to Obama. You've had Barack Obama himself call for a civilian police force. You've had Barack Obama himself come out and say that Fox News and the internet and right-wing conservative talk radio is, quote, an illegitimate media. That they're illegitimate. It's not an illegitimate media, according to him. This is the same Barack Obama who has said regarding amnesty for illegal immigrants or passing another stimulus bill, you know, I really wish I could bypass Congress. You know, I could just bypass Congress. Do I have to work with those Republicans in Congress? Why won't they let me, El Generalissimo, the Cadillo, as they say in Latin America, the boss, the Führer? Why can't they just let me work my magic? Why do I have all these internal democratic restraints and checks and balances? And so now you have Beverly Perdue up for re-election in 2012. Probably going to go down like many Democrats are going to go down. And what is she now saying? She's not stupid. She barely won her race in 2008. In fact, we've done some digging on her, some investigative background here at the Savage Nation. She's been under investigation for years, the way she ran her 2008 campaign against her Republican rival. She barely beat Pat McCrory. That was the Republican. Barely, 50-46. She rode Obama's coattails to power, just like many Democrats across the country. And now she sees the electoral tidal wave that is coming against her and against many Democrats. And what's her response? Is it to run on her record? Is it to run on her values? If this man is such a spectacular president, if he's done such wonderful things, if Obamacare is such a success, if the stimulus is such a success, if his global leadership is such a success, what are you worried about? Bev? Hey, Bev, what are you worried about? No, now you have to call for the suspension of elections. Now the Democrats are floating it out there. Let's impose martial law. I said this to the producer, Beowulf, before I got on the air. And I'm choosing my words now very carefully, members of the Savage Nation. In all my years in journalism, for all of the time that I have been on God's green earth, I never thought I would see the day that a democratically elected official in the United States of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the cradle of democracy in the world, that a governor of a major state like North Carolina would come out and say, hey, why do we have to hold elections? Let's call them off. Let's suspend them. This is what they do in Russia. This is what they do in Venezuela. This is what they do in Colombia. This is where people, oh, we're going to lose, suspend the elections, martial law, get the, what's next? Get the army on the streets? Get the boots on the streets? Remember, to the Congressional Black Caucus, Obama on Saturday, what did he say? Get your marching shoes on. It's time to march. And so now you have Beverly Perdue basically saying, hey, let's just forget the elections. Why do we have to vote every 2 years? You know why, Beverly Perdue? I'll tell you why. Since obviously you're so ignorant. So let me explain it to you. The role of elections is to hold politicians accountable. And we have them every 2 years in this country to keep checks and balances upon the people in power. Who watches the watchmen, as the ancient Greeks said? Who guards the guardians? Those that are in power. It's us, the people. That's why the People's House, the House of Representatives, the founding fathers explicitly said every 2 years. The Senate, it's six. But in the House, it's two. The president, it's 4 years. This is how people control and contain power. We have now seen the modern face of the Democratic Party. You want to see what a bunch of thugs they are? It's not just no longer Jimmy Hoffa. It's no longer Al Sharpton. It's no longer Al Gore. No, no, we're getting beyond that now. Now they're showing themselves more and more every day. Now they're not even hiding it anymore. It's no longer even the Chicago way, where there's a veneer of democratic civility, a veneer of adhering to democratic values. Now they're even saying it. If we're going to lose, call off the election. Call off the election. Let's just suspend an election. And then when there's blowback, when there's intense reaction, no, a joke. You heard my statement. I read it. I've read it now repeatedly. This wasn't a joke. At least I don't think it was a joke. And so the question I have for all of you members of the Savage Nation, was North Carolina Governor Beverly Perdue joking in your mind? Or do you think she's serious? And do you believe now, with Obama sinking like a stone in the polls and a potential landslide sweeping the Democrats from power, are they going to try to use thuggish, dictatorial tactics to keep themselves in power? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. I don't want to say I told you so, my friends, but I told you so. If you remember weeks ago when James Hoffa Jr., the leader of the Teamsters, a powerful labor leader and a key ally of Obama, in Detroit on Labor Day, just before Obama was to get on the same stage as Hoffa, Hoffa addressed his friends in the labor movement. All of these were labor union activists in the crowd. And now, realizing that Obama's numbers were dropping, realizing that opposition to Obama was gaining momentum, that now it looked like whether it was Perry or Romney or Herman Cain or take your Republican GOP candidate, all of them could defeat Obama in 2012. The Democrats and their leftist allies now sensed the Sun King is wounded. Our Messiah is in trouble. Obama may not just lose, but lose big. The Tea Party just may pull off the mother of all upsets and galvanize this country and bring the president down in 2012. And so now, telling his supporters, we're going to lose all of our benefits. We're going to lose all of our influence in the White House. We're going to lose all of the programs, all of the government handouts that have been coming our way for the last 3 years. Hoffa then says to his allies, we must stand up against the racist Tea Party people. We must, quote, take these SOBs out. Here is what Hoffa said in his own words. Boys, roll it.
When he sees what we're doing here, he will be inspired. But he needs help. And you know what? Everybody here has got to vote. If we go back and we keep the eye on the prize, let's take these son of a bitches out and give America back to America where we belong. Thank you very much.
And I said it at the time. I said, these are Gestapo tactics. This is now irresponsible, inflammatory, incendiary rhetoric. This is now the desperation of the left and the desperation of Obama's supporters. Obama got on the stage literally 20 minutes afterwards, the same stage. He didn't denounce Hoffa. In fact, he called him my friend. He said, I have great respect for Jimmy Hoffa, because what they're now doing and what they're trying to do is intimidate and cow the opposition. We're going to get our people on the streets, and blood is going to flow if need be. There's going to be people with clubs and sticks like Hoffa's father used to do for the Teamsters in the 50s and 60s. Take a baseball bat to the head if you stand up against these union thugs. That's what Hoffa was signaling. And so people like myself and people like Michael Savage, we were going out and saying, these are political gangsters in the White House and among their friends. And now, to me, you have irreversible, unequivocal evidence. You now, today, have the governor of North Carolina, the Democratic governor of North Carolina, a power in the Democratic establishment, somebody who the New York Times said would be a fantastic presidential contender in the future, comes out and says, we should suspend elections. Why should we have elections in this country? My friends, the Democrats are now looking to impose martial law. Was Bev Perdue joking? 1-800-449-8255. Or was she deadly serious? I'll take your calls right after this break on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. North Carolina Governor Beverly Perdue has called for elections to be suspended. She doesn't want Congress to face elections every 2 years, certainly in 2012, when she will be up facing a Republican challenger. And my question to you is a simple one. She's now claiming she was joking. You heard me read her statement in its entirety. Do you think she was joking? And are the Democrats now planning to implement martial law? Was this a feeler, a trial balloon, to see if people would support the suspension of elections? I want to hear from you. Paul in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Absolutely not. I do not believe she was joking one bit.
Paul, let me ask you this. As an American, did you ever in your wildest imagination think that an elected representative of the United States, never mind a governor, would actually call for martial law and the suspension of elections?
Not until Obama became in power. And let me tell you, I grew up in Detroit during the Jimmy Hoffa times, and it is going right back to those times as we get closer and closer to this election. And thank God for people like you and Michael that tell the truth and keep us in tune, because I cannot get any other information anywhere in the media that is explaining to the nation exactly what is going on. And for the first time ever, we have convinced my wife, a born Democrat, to jump ship and come over to our side.
Bingo. Paul, I want to thank you for that call. What your story to me now is, when I go on the speaking circuit, when I address Tea Party rallies all across the country, I cannot tell you how many people walk up to me and say, Jeff, I was politically not engaged. I was an independent. I was a former Democrat, but with this man in the Oval Office, I have become now radicalized. I have become a member of the Tea Party. This man must go. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. And I'm choosing my words very carefully. Barack Obama is to the Democratic Party what Osama bin Laden has been to Islam. He has radicalized it. He has marginalized it. And in many ways, he is undermining it and delegitimizing it. He is slowly destroying the Democratic Party. Look how desperate she is. And you mentioned Hoffa in Detroit in the 50s and 60s. This is nothing new for these union thugs. And I still remember that film. I saw it years ago with Jack Nicholson glamorizing. Hollywood still glamorizes that thug, Jimmy Hoffa. He was a gangster. He was in bed with the mob. The Teamsters was essentially using their pensions as a slush fund for the mob to raid and then invest in casinos. It was basically a revolving door. And if you stood up against Hoffa or any of his cronies, they sent their thugs after you, the baseball bats, the clubs. They used to beat the hell out of you in the alleys. And so these are the kind of people, the Chicago way, that Obama has brought into his administration and into his circle. So am I surprised? Am I shocked when I saw this story? No. But do I feel saddened as an American? Do I feel we've crossed another Rubicon? Have we hit another low? This woman, to me, it's an embarrassment. And again, I ask this question. Where are the Republicans? They come out and say, well, we disagree with her. Well, politicians need to be held accountable. Are you kidding me? How come nobody is calling for her to be impeached? If I was a Republican in the state legislature in North Carolina, I'd say, excuse me, we have a wannabe dictator in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have a wannabe dictator in the governor's mansion. She has to be impeached. Ty in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you think? Was Beverly Perdue joking? Or do you think this is really what she means and what the Democrats really want for us?
I absolutely think that she was joking. And it just sounds like you're being alarmist because she's a Democrat. I mean, if a Republican were to say the same thing, then you'd blow it off like it was nothing. I mean,
Let me ask you this. Which Republican, major Republican, came out and said we should suspend elections?
No, but it reminds me so much when McCain sang Bomb Bomb Iran. It was a joke. I thought it was a joke as a Democrat. This is another joke. No big deal.
No, he was kidding. But McCain did clearly say that if Iran gets nuclear weapons, he's going to bomb Iran. That was one of the differences between him and Obama. So, yes, he was kind of kidding. In other words, look, we'll deal with it when it comes to it. But no, if we have to take him out, we'll take him out. But Ty, I read the full statement. She said it not once. She said it twice. We can put off elections. Why do we have to face the consequences of our decisions? Why do we have to have elections every 2 years? She didn't just say it once. She said it twice. And where's the joke? What, to call off an election? That's funny. Is this now what liberals consider humor? You know, if I make an off-color racial joke, if I make an off-color gay joke, I'm off the air. I'm finished. If you're Trent Lott and you make some kind of off-color joke, you're gone. I can talk any Republican I can name. You make any kind of a joke that's considered somehow politically incorrect, you're finished. Here you have a Democratic official. Here, let me even concede to you your premise, which I don't, but for the sake of argument. She was kidding. Well, hold on now. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if a Republican makes an off-color or insensitive or politically incorrect joke, no, it's a firestorm. Has to apologize, maybe step down, resign. It's over. The career is finished. But when a Democratic official, I don't mean some little silly joke, we're talking about suspending elections. This is not some little dinky city council in some two-hick town in North Carolina. This is the governor of North Carolina. She barely won election in 2008. She's going down in 2012. This is now what passes for a sense of humor with liberals? I got to tell you, Ty, I know you guys are desperate. I know you're going to do everything and say everything to prop this man up and prop Democratic officials. But let me tell you right here, right now, if it was a joke, it certainly isn't funny. Bill in Houston on line 8, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
First thing that comes to mind, Enabling Act. If you know the history in Germany, when Hitler first came to power, and there was an election that happened right nearby after he got appointed chancellor, there were serious questions whether he would win that election. And you know what happened? There was a Reichstag fire. And as soon as there was a Reichstag fire, you know what Hitler did? He announced martial law, and he assumed dictatorial power. And I would not put it past this guy in the White House and the cronies in the press and in the Senate and the House to do something similar if they think they're going to lose this election. And I agree with you 1,000% that what this idiot in North Carolina did was just the first shot across the bow to see what reaction would be.
You nailed it. That was a trial balloon. And they want to see what's the reaction, what's the response. Are people going to be blasé about it? Are they going to be somehow nonchalant? Are they going to be complacent? Because you see now, this is what the Democrats are thinking. I know what they're thinking. Obama's been saying it up and down the campaign trail now. He's running around fundraiser after fundraiser. People are tired. People are weary. People are afraid of losing their jobs. People are getting economically desperate. These are very tough times. People now don't have the same energy like they had before. And he's now thinking, have I broken the back of this country? Have I broken its back? Have I broken its spine? Have I broken its resistance? And now they say, hey, let's float a trial balloon. Hey, I'll tell you what, we can fix your problems. But we just got to suspend elections. You see, we can pass stimuluses that you people don't want. We can even rack up more on the deficit that you people don't want, and more taxes and more regulations that none of you want, but we'll fix it for you. We'll give you bread. We'll give you boots, like Hitler said, boots and bread. Germany in the 1920s, and people don't know this about Germany, was the most economically and culturally advanced country in Europe. People don't understand why when Germany went fascist, Europe went fascist, because everybody looked at Germany as the model, as at least in Europe. And so here you had Hitler come into power through democratic means. And when his critics kept saying, this guy wants to subvert German democracy, people said, you're crazy. You're an alarmist. You're a radical. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy theorist. I look at this guy, Barack Obama. And I'm going to ask all of you members of the Savage Nation, among us, as the French say, entre nous, among us. If we didn't have checks and balances, if we didn't have separation of powers, if we didn't have the constitutional system of government that we have, where you have to, you know, introduce legislation through the House, it's got to be passed in the Senate, the president has to agree to it, all the Supreme Court, all of the checks and balances our founding fathers erected. Do you honestly think this man would obey the will of the people? Do you honestly think this guy wouldn't behave like some third world thug, which you see or in Latin America or in Eastern Europe, like Putin? I'm the will of the people. I do what I want. So this is what we're now seeing with Obama. He has created an economic crisis. He has deepened the economic crisis. And what are Democrats and especially leftists saying? When there's an economic crisis, like in Germany, there is a political crisis. People become desperate, and maybe people don't care about their freedoms and their liberties. So you know what? Let's pop a little trial balloon. Maybe we shouldn't have elections. What do you think? I believe we have a liberal fascist in the White House, and this man has assaulted our freedoms and our way of life for 3 years, and it's not going to end until we send him packing. Gloria in Miami, Florida, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Mr. Kooner. I'm Cuban. I left my country 51 years ago. Not only is this a fascist regime, these are communist tactics. And once you, I recognize them very clearly. And this country is playing with fire right now. We have to teach the dangers that we are being exposed to with this regime. And I'm very, very passionate. I'm very concerned. I came to this country looking for freedom. I found it, and this country is changing in front of my eyes.
Oh, it's Gloria. When you speak, you touch me in a way that, frankly, few people have ever touched me, and I'll tell you why. Because my parents came from communist Eastern Europe. Not communist Cuba, but communist Eastern Europe. And I have seen this country change in the last 3 years. And it's what's galvanized me. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's what angers me. And this country has changed in so many ways. The America that I knew, the America that I loved, the America that I thought would never disappear is now evaporating in front of my eyes. And I see this man and I ask Americans, when are we going to say enough is enough? He takes over the healthcare sector. He takes over the car industry. He takes over the banking sector. He now drowns us under a mountain and ink of debt, red ink after red ink. He apologizes for America around the world. He betrays all of our allies from Taiwan to Israel to Poland. Our allies can't stand this man. He has betrayed every American value. And now his cronies actually feel so emboldened that they can actually start talking about suspending elections. This woman should be impeached. And I want to see Barack Obama. You know what? If a Republican governor had said this, oh my God. Piers Morgan, Chris Matthews, Ed Steele in election, Schultz, Keith, the Commissar Oberman, they'd be going ballistic. CNN with the silver-haired guy, Anderson Cooper, he'd be running around, literally apoplectic. Obama would come out within 30 seconds. I want an apology. The American people demand an apology. My challenge to Obama is this. If you truly care about democracy, if you truly are an American, as you say you are, you should come out immediately and denounce this woman and denounce these statements. You should say they're unacceptable and un-American. And I'll bet you anything, dollars to donuts. I'll bet anyone out there a steak dinner, he won't do it. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael in Chicago, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. When I hear the comments made by the governor of North Carolina, it screams truth. I do not believe at all that this was a joke. But I would like to offer up as a comment for those that have worked on a political campaign, especially one where there's a typical two-year term. What I think she may have been talking about is when you are in a political campaign, it takes about 12 to 14 months for you to actually get on the campaign trail and work with your constituents and actually do your campaigning. So I'm not too sure whether she was running scared or whether she was trying to make a statement of if we remove the two-year term, it will allow our governors to focus more time on governing their states and less time on trying to run for re-election, because half of their term is typically spent doing so.
Now, Michael, that's exactly what the producer and I, Beowulf and I, were talking about just off the air. I think if she was trying to make this point, which is your point, we spend so much time raising money in politics, we spend so much time trying to get reelected, it's distracting us and diverting our attention from the issues at hand. Okay, that's one thing. But she didn't make that point. If that was her point, she didn't make that point. In fact, I don't believe that was her point. Her point, and I know because I was telling this to Beowulf, I know things about her. In Washington, I'm not saying she's a big name, but she's known as somebody who could be the next Hillary Clinton, an up-and-coming female Democrat with a big stake behind her, somebody who could be a potential future presidential candidate. And so we followed her a little bit in Washington. Frankly, she's not, as I said, she's not the sharpest tool in the shed. She's not the sharpest light, the brightest light bulb. Let's put it that way. She says things that will get her in trouble. She's going down in 2012. She is somebody who has been an ineffective governor. Her record speaks for itself. North Carolina is being decimated by this recession. The Obama depression is killing her politically, killing her state economically. But more than that, one of the first bills she vetoed was a bill that would require photo ID when you cast a ballot. Now, many Democrats support that, But think of the thuggishness involved in that. Think how anti-democratic that is. To me, how do I know you are who you say you are unless I see a photo ID? I'm Jeff Cooner. I'm voting today. Okay, well, you're on the list. Thanks, Jeff Cooner. Go and vote. Well, I may not be Jeff Cooner. I could be somebody impersonating Jeff Cooner. Show me a photo ID. And Democrats refuse to have photo IDs at elections. Why? Because they stuff ballot boxes. They want illegal immigrants to vote. They want people who are not registered to vote. They want people to vote 2, 3, 4 times. That's what they do in St. Louis. That's what they do in Chicago. That's what they do in Detroit. That's how Democrats steal elections. So this is the kind of woman Beverly Perdue is. She's another liberal thug. And so she can read the tea leaves like everybody else. She may not be the smartest woman in the world, but she's not completely stupid. She's looking at her poll numbers like many Democrats. She's not the only one. And she says, my God, we're going down in flames. This is like the Titanic. This guy in the White House is killing us politically. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. And you heard it here first. I don't care who the Republicans nominate. For example, right now, you go to michaelsavage.com, latest poll, Herman Cain is now at 28%. He surpassed Romney and he surpassed Perry. It doesn't matter who the nominee is. Obama is going to be decimated in 2012. The Democrats are going to lose the Senate. They're going to lose even more in the House. And what she's saying in North Carolina is suspend the elections because we're going to lose. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Michael is off tonight. I'll be filling in for him. My buddy, if you're listening, thank you for the incredible opportunity of filling in for you. You truly speak to the heart and soul of America, and I can't tell you what a privilege it is to speak to members of the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest stories that you can't get anywhere else. And in particular, you can order the latest copies of Abuse of Power, Michael's novel, which is set to debut at number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list next week. Congratulations, Michael. I haven't reached the end yet. I have a little adopted little child that I got on my knee, and he's keeping me up at night. But believe me, my friend, I'll probably finish it tonight. It is one hell of a gripping read. Congratulations, buddy, on a superb novel. We will continue to talk about Beverly Perdue, the Democratic governor of North Carolina. She is now calling for elections to be suspended, congressional elections, national elections. Is this now the first attempt by Democrats to impose martial law? Are they now showing the Gestapo fascist tactics at the heart of the liberal regime? We'll continue to talk about that. But there's another story I want to draw your attention to. Recently, Obama was at a major fundraiser in Los Angeles. And while he talks about being a warrior for the middle class, and he wants to soak the rich, and he's fighting for the little guy. What was Obama doing? He raised over $7 million in huge campaign cash from some of the top people in Hollywood. Jeffrey Katzenberg was there. Aaron Sorkin was there. Jamie Foxx was there. Danny DeVito was there. All of the Hollywood liberal left-wing community was there at a $17,900 a plate dinner. I don't know what they're serving for $18,000 a plate. To me, how much can a filet mignon or surf and turf cost? But let that go. It's an $18,000 a plate dinner. And Obama is addressing the crowd. And he's now telling them that they're facing a severe recession, that his numbers are down, the opposition is strong, and he is in big trouble. He needs them now more than ever. And out of the blue, a heckler interrupts his speech and he calls Obama the Antichrist. And he says the Christian God is the only living God, and he says Obama is the Antichrist. Now, I want you to hear the heckler, and then I want you to hear the crowd's reaction. Look at how they react to this heckler. Boys, roll clip one.
I have some members of Congress here. Well, there you go, Dennis. Where? Hey, how are you? I want to
thank God is the one and only true living God, the creator of heaven and the universe.
Now, notice, so the guy comes out and says the Christian God is the only living God and you are the Antichrist. Now, do I believe Obama is the Antichrist? No. Do I believe he's a horrible president? Yes. But that's not the issue. The issue is this. Notice how these Hollywood secular leftists are completely uncomfortable with a man coming out and saying the Christian God is the only living God. They don't know what to do. They're spooked. And what's their response? They're like drones. They have no response except four more years. They're like robots, just mouthing the line, 4 more years. Now watch, Obama then gives his response. Now, here is what I would do. What would you do? Someone interrupts your speech. You just brush it off. You maybe make a quick joke. Ah, they let him out from the asylum. Whatever. And then you continue with your speech. But look how defensive and insecure he is about his Christian identity. Look what he does. The moron responds. Boys, roll clip two.
Is that his jacket? Is that his jacket? Is that his jacket? First of all, I agree Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe in that. I do have a question. I think the young man may have left his jacket. So make sure that he gets his jacket. Oh, that's yours. Hold on. It's hers. And I think somebody's car keys are in there, too. See, we're having all kinds of confusion here.
This guy's a moron. So here you have a guy interrupting. Remember, this is the president of the United States. This is not some sports athlete at a fundraiser for cancer research. So here's the president of the United States giving a major speech. He's interrupted by this guy who says, the Christian God is the only living God. And instead of just brushing it off, look how insecure he is. He has to say, no, I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord. That, my friends, is a tell, as they say in poker. We all know Obama is not a Christian. We know he's sensitive about the fact that we know that he's not a Christian. And he knows that we know that he's not a Christian. Now, why do I say this? Forget what you think, whether he's a Muslim or not. Leave that aside. That he was raised as a Muslim in Indonesia, leave that aside. That his father was a Muslim, leave that aside. That he continues to talk and quote the Quran, leave that aside. Look at the church by his own definition that he, and by his own admittance, that he himself admits he attended for 20 years. Reverend Jeremiah Wright, that's the man that married him and Michelle. That's the man that baptized his two children. What does Reverend Jeremiah Wright believe? He doesn't believe that Christ is God, is the Lord. He doesn't believe that Christ is our Lord, Savior, and King. He doesn't believe in Christianity. What does Wright believe? He believes in Marxist liberation theology. He believes that America is the root of all evil. What he taught in his church, leave aside the inflammatory stuff. Leave aside the USKK of A. Leave aside the not God bless America. All that aside, in sermon after sermon, because most journalists haven't done this. I have. I've actually read this lunatic's sermons. Believe me. It was like torture. I'd rather be waterboarded, I swear to you, than have to read this guy's sermons. But there I am reading his sermons, and I'll tell you what he says. America exploits and plunders the third world. People in the third world are poor because of America. Capitalism is the greatest evil in the world. The salvation of man is not Jesus. It's Lenin. It's Marx. It's the redistribution of wealth. It's socialism. That's the God that Jeremiah Wright worships at. That's the altar that he worships at. That's the church that Obama attended. So when I say I know for a fact that Obama is not a Christian, by his own admission, he's not a Christian. That's his pastor. That's the church he attended for 20 years. He doesn't go to a church now. I'll tell you this. On Sunday, it's not church day for Obama. It's buffet day. He's always stuffing his face on Sundays. It's scrambled eggs. It's bacon. It's cheeseburgers. It's pizza. It's chili dogs. I swear, I look at this guy, how does he keep his waistline? People ask me this all the time. I swear, Jeff, is there anything about Obama you admire? His metabolism. I'll tell you that right now. I look at food and I put on weight. This guy, where does it fit in this guy? It's buffet, steak, chili dog, pizza, cheeseburger. And look at that waistline. I would kill to have his metabolism. But let that go. I digress. So, notice how insecure he is. And why does he have to say Jesus Christ is the Lord? Because now he's in campaign mode. Now it's time to con middle America like he did in 2008. Now it's back to being the centrist. Now it's back to being the uniter and not the divider. Now he's found Jesus now. Now he's found Jesus. Now, please vote for me. I found Jesus. You know what else he's found? I swear to you, he's not only Muslim. When he goes to Cairo to give his speech, he's a Muslim. He's discovered his inner Muslim. He's known Muslim on Islam on three different continents, he said. Now, no, Jesus Christ is the Lord. But hold on now. He's losing the Jewish vote. He's losing the Jewish vote. He's now down to 45% among Jews. He lost the New York special district election, District 9 in New York. Fundraising from prominent Jews is dropping. Support is dropping. Guess what's coming up now? The Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. And what does Obama do? He's Jewish. Boys, do you have the Rosh Hashanah clip? He's welcoming now the Jewish New Year. He's Jewish.
Hello, everybody. Shana Tova. The days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are a time of repentance and reflection. Yeah. An opportunity to reaffirm our friendships. Renew our commitments, and reflect on the values we cherish. Yeah. As the high holidays begin, we look back on all the moments during the past year that give us reason to hope. Around the world, a new generation is reaching for their universal rights.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's Jewish now. Now he's celebrating the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. He's Jewish now. You know what? He didn't go to a madrasa when he was in Indonesia. I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. He went to a kibbutz. In Israel. He was now raised at a kibbutz. He's now more. The only thing missing is the yarmulke. I would tell him, Mr. President, walk here. Mr. President, here's how you do it, okay? We have a nice carpet for you. You pray in the corner, okay, five times a day. We get a beautiful crucifix. You wear that around your neck. Big, a lot of gold. Let it shine. And put a yarmulke on your head. There you go. You're Muslim, you're Christian, and you're Jewish. Boom. You're ready for 2012. 1-800-449-8255. If you want to talk about Governor Perdue, we'll take calls. But let me ask you this. Do you believe Obama is a genuine Christian, or is he now playing religious politics for 2012? This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Lisa in Las Vegas on line 3. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, yes. Hi, Jeff. Hi. I was calling, I said this a long time ago before that heckler said that. You know, with Obama, I always felt he was the Antichrist, even when he was campaigning. You know, a lot of people thought he was charismatic. You know, I never saw him as charismatic.
No, but Lisa, let me ask you this. Lisa, in all seriousness, do you really think he is the Antichrist, Satan, the devil himself?
No, I think he is. He's an enemy of Israel. And there's three things that the devil will do. There's a lot of things. Deceive, divide, and destroy. And Obama's up to the division category. Next is destroy. He's lied to... No politician's ever lied this much. You know,
Lisa, I have to tell you, in all seriousness... look, I think Obama, you know, I think he's an evil, destructive man. Do I think he's the Antichrist? No. And I'll tell you why. To me, the most evil person in modern history, without question, is Vladimir Lenin. I think if you look at what Lenin has done, Obama is essentially a student of Lenin. He is a disciple of Lenin. Lenin is the key revolutionary. It was Lenin that brought about communism in the Soviet Union. It was Lenin that has inspired every Marxist leader around the world. Lenin was the one who began massacring millions of people. Lenin was the one who said, destroy religion. And by the way, Lenin was a virulent anti-Semite. Lenin despised the idea of a Zionist homeland. Lenin wanted pogroms against the Jews. Lenin despised nationalism of any kind, capitalism, the West, Judeo-Christian morality. So if you're looking at what Lenin has done in terms of the number of people he killed, the ideology he spawned, the monstrous regime that he gave birth to, and then the disciples that have flown from him, that have derived from him, to me, without question, he is the Antichrist. And I don't want to get off topic now, but in fact, I've been doing some reading on Lenin. This is a man who would laugh at the sight of boys being murdered. Literally, it was said he had no sense of humor. He literally had ice in his veins. They said he had ice in his eyes, ice in his veins. He could not laugh. He never knew what it was to laugh. He lied at every moment, at every turn. He was nothing more than a power-mad dictator who sought to remake the world. He hated God with every fiber of his being. I believe Obama is an offshoot of Lenin. I believe he studies at the feet of Lenin. In fact, I know this because Saul Alinsky worshipped Lenin. What there is about Obama is this. Obama is a man of the hard left. He is what I call a Leninist. He is a disciple of Lenin and of Saul Alinsky. In his classic book, Saul Alinsky, in his preface, and this is a key point that people don't realize this, he actually glorifies Satan. He says the ultimate rebel, the ultimate community organizer was Lucifer, who created his own kingdom. This is the ideology of the left, and Obama is nothing more than its disciple. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Robert in Houston on line five. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Jeff?
Hi.
Yeah, now, one of the commandments of God, the Father of Jesus, was that you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, I disagree with some of the things that Obama do, but for you to sit here and lie on the man and say that the man is not a Christian because that's what you believe, when this man confessed with his own mouth that he believed that Jesus was Lord and Savior, you do not have the authority from God to condemn another person that believes in Jesus Christ. But yet you sit here and talk about he's a disciple of Lenin, and that's a lie. So if you believe in the same God that believed that was the son, I mean the father of Jesus, you would not be sitting here telling all those lies and putting out this spooky stuff.
Robert, I mean, I don't know what's spooky. The evidence speaks for itself. First of all, he will be judged by God. So what Jeff Kooner says about him is frankly irrelevant in the larger scheme of things. But let's get to the heart of the matter. Hitler said he was a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. Stalin, at one point, when it was convenient for him during World War II, said he was an Orthodox Christian. He wasn't an Orthodox Christian. He butchered Orthodox Christians. So to say that Obama is a Christian just because he mouths it once in a while doesn't mean he's a Christian. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. He went to a church for 20 years which did not believe in Christ, did not believe that he's the Son of God. In fact, hardly even mentioned Christ. He supports abortion. He supports partial birth abortion. He violates almost every tenet of Christianity. He praises Islam. He, in many ways, is a secular atheist. He studied at the feet of Saul Alinsky. Those are his words, not mine. He's an admirer of Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky, in his preface, as I pointed out, look up Rules for Radicals. I have the book. I read the book. I read the book because I to understand Obama, I had to understand Saul Alinsky. Everything Obama is doing is straight out of Rules for Radicals. What does Alinsky say? Read the preface. The ultimate community organizer, the ultimate rebel was Lucifer, because he seceded from God and created his own kingdom. He was, quote, the ultimate radical. This is what Alinsky says. So when I look at Obama's record, do I see this as a Christian? Absolutely not. Now, do I know what's in his heart? Do I know what he struggles with, what he doesn't struggle with? I don't know, and frankly, I don't care. Because in the end, I judge a man by his actions. You can tell me you love me till you're blue in the face. If you're murdering me, if you're murdering my family, you don't love me. So this guy can stand there and say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. What church did you attend? Oh, the church that hates America. The church that praises Marx. The church that praises Lenin. The church that praises the radical hard left. That's the church you went to. Oh, okay. So you're not a Christian. By your own definition, you're not a Christian. And then I look at everything you believe in. You believe in the gay rights agenda. You believe in the abortion agenda. And look, this is not just he believes in abortion because he's some trendy liberal. When he was in the state legislature in Illinois, even in Democratic liberal Illinois, Republicans and many Democrats said, let's outlaw partial birth abortion. And in particular, when a baby is born 8 months old, 1 month premature, it comes out of the womb. But it hasn't been, but the mother intended to have an abortion. But it's a premature baby and it's in a hospital. Let's take care of it. Let's nurture it. Let's give it life. Instead, the policy was, well, no, if the mother, even in the third trimester, wants to kill the baby, she has a right to kill the baby. So if the baby's born 1 month or 2 months early, it should be allowed to die in a hospital room. This bill was going to outlaw infanticide. And Obama voted his vote in the Illinois state legislature. So don't stand there and lecture to me that this man is a Christian because he's in front of a Hollywood fundraiser and some guy runs out and interrupts his fundraiser and says, the Christian God is the only living God. And he starts panicking because his re-election is up next year. And he says, no, I believe Jesus is the Lord. I believe Jesus is the Lord. You can say whatever you want. Your actions speak otherwise. And in the end, you judge a man not by what he says, but by what he does. And by that criteria, this man is very far from being a Christian. And I have 100% confidence in saying that now and forever. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania on line one. Dave, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
They're pulling out all the stops. Getting back to Beverly Perdue, this is as serious as a heart attack. She's serious. They're going for broke. Everything they did up until now was preliminary. This is the main event.
Dave, that's my feeling exactly. This is why I believe this is going to be a major story. I think you're hearing it now on the Savage Nation. I'm telling you they're going to follow this story. What happens on the Savage Nation, nobody wants to admit this. This is why it gets me, it boils my blood when I see so many people walk away from not defending Savage from this ban in Britain, because they listen to him and they listen to this show. And this show is a trendsetter for many conservatives, not just on talk radio, but on the internet and the blogosphere. And so this story is going to get huge legs. I'm telling you, mark my words, it's coming out of my mouth on this microphone, on this show, on this program, to this audience, and it's going to go like wildfire. Because everything now has been, they have laid the groundwork for this. They have tried to beat us down by passing bills that are blatantly unconstitutional. Obamacare. I don't care whether you're for or against socialized medicine. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because the bill is illegal and unconstitutional. Where in the Constitution does it say the federal government has the right to compel you, the individual, to buy any good or service? Where? Show it to me. You can't find it. What's next? Buy a car seat for your kid? What's next? Go shopping? What's next? Buy a Diet Coke? What's next? Drink enough water? In other words, the individual mandate is unconstitutional. That didn't work. So then they tried to call all opponents and Tea Partiers racists. That didn't work. Then they tried to outlaw talk radio through the Fairness Doctrine. That didn't work. Now they've called out for racial and class war. That didn't work. So what's left? Let's suspend elections. And now, my friends, mark my words. How we react to this story, how we react to this trial balloon, and that's what it is. It's a trial balloon. Let's float it. Let's see how people react. You're going to see the Democrats. If they see complacency, if they see a passive electorate, you're going to see many more saying, hey, guys, we're in a national crisis. It's unprecedented. This is like the Great Depression. No, worse than the Great Depression. Let's suspend elections. You're going to see other Democrats echo that unless we stop it right here, right now. Robert in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, my first time I heard your show. Okay, I will be swift. Now, this woman in North Carolina, the steps are so familiar because I've read all these things I'm going to speak about. Stalin, Mein Kampf, I read Saul Alinsky, and everything is falling into place, especially what Jimmy Hoffa said. Now, when he went to Martha's Vineyard, what date of the year was that for Muslims? Ramadan. And he came back just as Ramadan was beginning to end. Now, at the same time, the SEIU was where? Egypt. And the Muslim Brotherhood was getting ready to be voted in.
No, Robert, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think it's a little bit conspiracy theory here. To me, Obama going to Martha's Vineyard, he vacations so often, whether it's during Ramadan or not during Ramadan, to me is absolutely irrelevant. No, the bigger point about Obama is this, and you were touching on it. And this is what I've been trying to warn people now for 3 years. I am an historian. Before I got into journalism, I was a professor of history at McGill. My specialty is 20th century Europe and 20th century America. That's my expertise. I have studied the Nazi period. Let me tell you something. The welfare state was not created by Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. That's a lie that the liberals have been propagating. It was created by Hitler's Germany. Hitler introduced the notion of national health insurance. Hitler called for public works projects. Hitler nationalized the car industry. The Volkswagen, what does that mean in German? The people's car. That was a Hitler creation, a Nazi creation. In other words, the radical environmentalist, radical socialist agenda was given birth to by Hitler. And what Hitler said was this: for us to attain full power, we have to bribe the masses. How do you bribe the masses? You get them addicted to government. You give them government programs. They are no longer citizens. They are no longer freeborn individuals. They are serfs or slaves of the state. They are dependent upon the state. So everything you've seen Obama do, that's why I say very carefully, he's a liberal fascist. No, it's not the jackboot on the throat. It's not the SS knocking on your door at night and shooting you with a bullet in the brain. It's a liberal fascism. It's an American fascism. It's a new age, 1960s, post-1960s fascism. It's more soft. It's a more soft totalitarianism. But it doesn't matter. Control the media. Get people addicted to healthcare. Take over key sectors, the auto sector, the banking sector. Begin to nationalize key aspects of the economy. Bankrupt the capitalist system. Saul Alinsky kept saying that. Spend, spend, spend. So you bankrupt the system, and what do you have to do? Raise taxes. Destroy the dollar. What does massive inflation do? It leads to people wanting a dictator, a strong man. This is what Obama has been doing. He is slowly undermining American power abroad and within. So to me, when they start calling for the suspension of elections, they're just playing out of the Saul Alinsky playbook. This is what Saul Alinsky wanted. This is what these people really think. They think they have a right to govern. They have a right to lead. They have a right to control our lives. They know what's better for us. And that's what they're doing right now. You don't know how to run an economy? We do. You don't know how to make cars? We do. You don't know how to purchase your own health insurance? We do. So we're going to control your life. That's what Obama thinks. And now you want to hold us accountable? You rabble? Hey, we heard Morgan Freeman yesterday on this show. I played the clips. They're all racists who oppose Obama. What did he say? Muddy waters. The opposition to Obama, it's like the mud in water. You're mud. You're the rabble. You're sewage. You're nothing. He has nothing but contempt for you. That's what liberals really think. That's what's going on here. You are to hold him accountable. You are to hold Democrats accountable. How dare you, you peasant? That's what they truly think. And now they're showing us their true colors. And this is why, come November 2012, we have to send every Democrat packing. 1-800-449-8255. What do you make of Beverly Perdue's statement calling for elections to be suspended? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
While we cannot know all that the new year will bring, we do know this. The United States will continue to stand with Israel because the bond between our two nations is unshakable.
Unshakable.
As Jewish tradition teaches us, we may not complete the work, but that must never keep us from trying. In that spirit, Michelle and I wish you and your families and all who celebrate Rosh Hashanah a sweet year full of health, happiness, and peace.
Unless Iran annihilates Israel. But let that go. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Here you have the con man in chief in the White House. Now suddenly he's celebrating Rosh Hashanah. Now he's very pro-Israel all of a sudden. Looks at the polls, 45% Jewish support, dropping like a stone. Jews are abandoning the Democratic Party. Jews are abandoning Obama. And suddenly now he's celebrating the Jewish New Year. And to me, what I just find remarkable is he's such an obvious phony. He's so obviously pandering. It's almost bordering on the comical. I mean, I can't help cracking up every time I hear these Rosh Hashanah clips. I'm like, are you kidding me? You won't see the Prime Minister of Israel. You demonize and slander Israel. You appease all of Israel's mortal enemies. And yet here you are. You think what? You think the Jews are just going to support you now because of one lousy New Year's greeting? You think that's how low? You think you can buy their vote with that little pathetic little gesture on your part? Is that how low you think their price is? I mean, to me, this guy is incompetent upon incompetent upon incompetent. But don't mistake the incompetence for his ruthlessness. So now we have Beverly Perdue calling for elections to be suspended. We have Jimmy Hoffa calling for union thugs to go out and take those SOBs out. You have Obama going to the Congressional Black Caucus and asking for civil rights activists and African Americans to put their, quote, marching shoes on. So this man obviously is trying to create internal strife. He is trying to slowly subvert our democratic institutions. And it's not just Obama. Here you have Sheila Jackson Lee, a hardcore left-wing Democrat from Texas. You want to talk about a race baiter. You want to talk about a far-left hater. There's no one more as symbolic of that than Sheila Jackson Lee. So who's she now going after? You guessed it. The conservative bloggers. So she's on the Tavis Smiley show. She's interviewed yesterday. And here's what she has to say about conservative bloggers who criticize Obama. Boys, roll clip 16.
To all the bloggers, shut up and stop playing racial politics. Mm-hmm. It's the old line politics of pitting us against each other. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. And I understand. I've seen some of those headlines as well. And I can't wait to get to the floor of the House to challenge them on their pettiness and their opportunity that they have thought that they have been given for us to knock heads against each other.
Mm-hmm. In other words, shut up or we're going to censor you. Shut up or else we're going to pass regulations to regulate the internet, to censor the internet, because we don't want, quote, right-wing bloggers, meaning conservative bloggers, anti-Obama bloggers, people critical of the liberal democratic regime, to be voicing, spouting their opinions on the internet. You can't be publishing your opinions on the internet. So if you're going to go after our guy, we're going to shut you up. Now, here's the question I have. What has happened to this country that now you have a prominent Democratic congresswoman calling for bloggers to, quote, shut up, basically calling for censorship through the back door? You have a Democratic governor of a major state in North Carolina calling for elections to be suspended. You mean to tell me that there aren't enough problems in North Carolina? Just go to Charlotte. Just go to Raleigh. Just go to all these places that have been decimated by the recession. Look at the massive rural poverty in North Carolina. Look at what's happened to the textile industry. Look what's happened to the tobacco industry down there. Not doing too well in North Carolina. She doesn't have time to focus on that, but she can call for suspension of elections. To Sheila Jackson Lee, why don't you take care of your constituents in your district? Many of them are on welfare. Many of them live below the poverty line. Many of them suffering from the scourge of drugs and illegitimacy. I don't see you handling that. I don't see you talking about that. But when you get on the Tavis Smiley show, oh, I know what you're focused on. Don't criticize me. Don't criticize my president. Don't criticize the regime. So if I'm Vladimir Putin and I'm sitting in Moscow right now in the Kremlin, I'm going to say, guys, we won the Cold War. Everybody thought we lost. We won. Look at these dumb Americans. They're adopting our communist tactics. What's next? The secret KGB? What's that? Obama's civilian police force? That's the only thing left. I'm waiting for that knock coming at my door. It's going to be the Obama police. We are coming for you, Mr. Kuhner. Come out now. Come out now and we save your family. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you one last time, my friend, for the wonderful opportunity of filling in for you tonight. As always, I love talking to your audience. You have literally the finest radio show in America. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest must-read, can't-get-anywhere stories. And in particular, I urge all of you, I am almost through it. I mean, it's like a hot knife through butter. Buy Abuse of Power. The main character, Jack Hatfield, I believe could potentially become a cultural icon in American fiction and in the American cultural imagination. It reminds me a lot of Jack Ryan from Tom Clancy, from the Clancy novels. It's a superb character. It is one hell of a plot. And I know many of you think, oh, it's a novel. It's a fiction novel. It's a thriller. Is it going to be tough to read? Is it going to be time consuming? I'm telling you, you just blow right through it. It is, I'm talking, a gripping read. You cannot put it down. Do yourself a favor. Buy the book. To all of you out there, we're going to continue to talk about the stunning, and I mean stunning, news. The governor of North Carolina, Beverly Perdue, is now calling for elections to be suspended. It looks like now some Democratic officials may be putting up a trial balloon to launch martial law in America. But before I take more of your phone calls, recently, the con man in chief, the dear leader, the Marxist in chief, Barack Hussein Obama, went on black entertainment television. And as you know, his support among Americans has been dropping. He has lost independents. He has lost the Jewish vote. He is losing the Hispanic vote. He is losing votes from key electoral constituencies right across the board. What now is he desperately trying to do? Shore up the African American vote. And so now, with his poll numbers tanking, the economy sliding into a double dip recession, his presidency and the nation hanging by a thread, this president glows on BET to speak to the African American community. Listen to these clips, because now even many African American leaders are now openly asking him, do you care about us? What can we say to you for you to understand what we need, and can you address our problems? My friends, he is even starting to lose the black vote. You can hear it in these clips. Boys, roll them.
Can President Obama's new jobs bill provide relief for African Americans, the group hardest hit by the crisis? Can he fix the economy in time to fend off his political rivals?
He has failed the African American community.
Yeah, I can see it. It's been a long time.
Tonight, a BET News exclusive, The President Answers Black America.
African Americans are going to be watching you. Mm-hmm. And asking themselves, who is this man and does he care about me? What is it that they don't understand about you, do you think, that you would have them understand?
All I get from the African American community as I travel around the country is, we know it's hard, but we're praying for you. I think the main thing I want the African American community to know is just those prayers are appreciated, them rooting for me is appreciated, and that I am spending all my time in this office trying to make sure that if there's some kid in the south side of Chicago that doesn't have a shot right now, that I'm fighting for him.
He's fighting for that kid in south side Chicago. Now, let me ask the president this, because I'm going to get to the heart of the matter. When you're partying in Martha's Vineyard, are you fighting for that kid in the south side of Chicago? Tell me, when you're vacationing in Hawaii, when you do your vacation a month, when you're off to Florida, when you're off to Malibu, when you're off to Maui, when you're off to Martha's Vineyard, when you're dancing it up and partying it up in the White House with Elton John and Stevie Wonder and Jamie Foxx, and literally uncorking champagne bottles and eating lobster and gorging on shrimp cocktails. You're thinking about the kid in the south side of Chicago, hey, Barack? You're thinking about the south side of Chicago? I don't think so. And here's, to me, the big point that nobody wants to even mention. What I cannot understand is why so many blacks in this country support Barack Obama. He has decimated the black community. Unemployment has gone up in the African-American community. Forget the country as a whole. In the black community, unemployment has gone up under Obama. Household net worth has plummeted under Obama. The scourge of drugs, the scourge of violence, the scourge of teen illegitimacy, the failing public schools, everything that has been destroying the black community for the last three decades has gotten worse under this president. This man has decimated the black community. He's been a complete failure from A to Z. And so the only reason why that I can see, and nobody wants to say it, but I'll say it, then keep our mouth shut. But if it wasn't the White House, that's how things are bad in the black community under this man's leadership. But here is, to me, the deeper issue that nobody in the mainstream media even comments on, that to me as an American, I find frankly insulting. Why does the president of the United States go on black entertainment television to speak to the African American community? Can you imagine if George W. Bush or any one of these Republican candidates, take Rick Perry or Mitt Romney or whoever, goes on some all-white television network to speak to the, quote, white American community or the European American community? Can you imagine the outrage? Why this constant segregation and ethnic identity politics, this constant balkanization of America and of our culture? Why is it when he speaks, it's to Hispanics, it's to Jewish Americans, it's to African Americans? He never speaks to Americans. It's, to me, one contradiction upon another contradiction upon another contradiction in our liberal culture. For example, have you noticed there's the Congressional Black Caucus? Can you imagine if there was the Congressional White Caucus? No, it's for whites only. Whites only. Congressional Asian Caucus. Congressional, they even have that now, a Congressional Hispanic Caucus. I mean, it's stunning, the hypocrisy, the contradictions, the double standards. So what they're basically saying is this: if you're a minority, if you're black, you can have a racial identity that supersedes your American identity. But if you're a white American, no. You can't have a racial identity that supersedes your American identity. Why can we not just be Americans? We are all created in the image and eyes of God. We are all equal under the law. We are all the heirs of the greatest culture and society in the history of the world. That is our birthright that George Washington and the founding fathers bequeathed to all of us. Why can't we just be as Americans? Why can't he speak to us as Americans? Why are we black, white, Hispanic, Asian, gay, heterosexual, homosexual? Why? Women, men, male, female. That's, they just keep dividing and dividing and dividing. If you go to michaelsavage.com, one of the top stories on the right-hand side is a new Zogby poll showing that Herman Cain, a black conservative, has now skyrocketed to the top of the latest Zogby poll. He is now at 28%. He has surpassed and eclipsed Perry, who is dropping to 18. Romney is stuck at 17. As Romney stays in third place, Perry's dismal debate performances have benefited Herman Cain. Now, just compare Herman Cain for a second to Barack Obama. Barack Obama is a lifelong community organizer. He is a leftist and a socialist. He speaks to African Americans. He speaks to interest groups across the country. Look how Kane speaks. He presents himself as an American. His skin color is practically irrelevant. He embodies the beautiful notion of a colorblind society. He is a conservative. He is a successful CEO and a businessman. He is a stark contrast to Obama. And my question to the African-American community is this. You care so much about racial and put Herman Cain on. Why don't African-American leaders say, hey, you know what? There's a different model for us. We don't have to be addicted to big government. We don't have to stand there and look for handouts. We don't have to be under the thumb of the state and wards of the debt we have been for the last 40 years. Let's practice personal responsibility and self-empowerment. Let's become part of the American family and embrace the free market system, which has lifted every group in America. I think that's why Cain is doing so well. If Republicans are so racist, if Tea Partiers are so racist, if conservatives are so racist, why is Herman Cain at 28%? How come the liberal media can't wrap their mind around that? And so I look at Herman Cain and I see, why is he doing so well? Because he speaks like an American and he embodies American values, freedom, liberty, self-reliance, the American constitutional system of government. And he talks to us like Americans. He's not trying to pit us from ethnic ghetto to ethnic ghetto, pitting one group against another. He is an American first and foremost. He is a businessman. And this is why his numbers continue to do well. He speaks with passion. He's articulate. He's eloquent. Unlike Obama, he doesn't need a teleprompter. When he gives his speeches, when he's debating, he's not looking at that damn teleprompter every 30 seconds. Unlike Obama, he actually is intelligent. To me, the differences are unbelievable between the two men. It's like night and day. And so the question I have for the Savage Nation is a very simple one. What do you make of Herman Cain's candidacy? Why is he now skyrocketed to the top of the latest Zogby poll? And do you think, finally, African Americans can look to a conservative Republican as a model for their leadership and for a way for that for Black Americans to finally embrace the American dream? Or are they going to be perpetually trapped in the cycle of the welfare state and dependency? Can Herman Cain show a better way for Blacks in America and for all Americans? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Mary in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes. You know what? I was listening to your show, and I couldn't believe my ears. Why are you targeting African Americans towards President Obama?
I don't follow you. What do you mean, targeting them towards President? You mean against President Obama?
Well, you were saying, you're talking about government programs, self-worth. Don't target African-Americans towards President Obama. A lot of Black Americans did not vote for President Obama, but the ones that did voted for him because they saw a brilliant man. They didn't see a Black man. I voted for President Obama, not because he was Black, but because he was for all Americans. And he does not just talk to Blacks. And he does not talk just to Hispanics.
Well, then explain this to me, Mary. Why is he on Black entertainment television? Why is he in front of the Congressional Black Caucus? Why does he go in front of La Raza? Every time I look at this guy give a speech, it's to one special interest group after another, usually special interest groups that vote overwhelmingly Democratic. Now, the facts are the facts. I understand many whites voted for Obama. Of course they did, or else he wouldn't have won the election. But the group that got the highest percent support for Obama was the African-American community. It was over 90%, something like 92%. And so my question is a simple one. What has the Democratic Party done for African-Americans? It's been 40 years we've had the Great Society, 40 years of welfare, 40 years of government social programs. Has it helped? Look at, I drive through Washington, D.C. every day. It's an economic and cultural wasteland. We have plunked trillions of dollars in the war on poverty. It's all gone down, right down a rat hole. It's done zero, nothing to help the African-American community. What has it done? Instead, it's put generations of people addicted to welfare. It's led to massive skyrocketing illegitimacy rates, failing schools, soaring drugs. My question to them is a simple one. Look at Herman Cain. Try free market capitalism. Try personal responsibility. Try entrepreneurship. Believe me, it'll do for blacks what it's done for everybody else. Success and wealth. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. I don't have time to complain. I'm going to press on. I expect all of you to march with me and press on. Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do, CBC.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, we played the clip for you again. Played it yesterday, played it again today. This was Obama in front of the Congressional Black Caucus over the weekend calling for the African-American community to put on their, quote, marching shoes. To me, it's more like boots, marching boots, goose-stepping boots, like they did in the 1930s under Hitler. And now you have Beverly Perdue, the governor of North Carolina, part of the Obama Democratic machine, now saying elections should be suspended. To me, this is the kind of rhetoric one would expect from some Eastern European dictatorship. This is something you see in Belarus or Russia or Kazakhstan, not in America. But this is the modern Democratic Party, and this is modern-day liberal America for you. Tommy in North Carolina on line 5, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to say that Governor Beverly, I'm from North Carolina, she wasn't joking. That's her mentality. That's how she thinks. She's a bird brain. She's not very smart. She should be impeached. I don't know if you know about it yet or not, if you've looked into it or not, but, I mean, right when she was first elected, within the first few weeks, she fired an elected official, which is unconstitutional under our North Carolina Constitution, and she appointed one of her friends to that position. They made a big deal out of that for maybe like a half a day here in our media. And then they dropped it like it didn't matter. I mean,
she's a crook. No, I mean, look, we've been doing investigative work here at the Savage Nation. And I know about her, like I said, in the Washington Times, because I've been following her career. I'm not saying I've been following her every day. I'm not the biggest expert in the world on Beverly Perdue. But look, she clearly was covering up illegal campaign actions on the part of her campaign in 2008. She took trips with big-time contributors on private planes that were clearly illegal and in violation of the law. She was in bed with a lot of donors and cronies who give money to her and her campaign. So she breaks the law. She has fired people who sought to investigate her illegal and immoral and criminal behavior. We have now also found out that she went on a recent trip to China, where she was kowtowing to the communist Chinese. Now, that's nothing new for liberals. I am going to be very candid now. Thomas Friedman from the New York Times says we should imitate China. that China, this is what the leading liberal pundit in America today has said. In the New York Times, in his column, this is Thomas Friedman, who to me is an overrated lightweight, frankly a buffoon, masquerading as some sort of public intellectual. But there's Thomas Friedman on Meet the Press, he's on CNN, and in his New York Times column, he said communist China is the way of the future. And why is communist China so successful? Why is its economy growing? Why are they doing so well economically? Because they don't have elections in China. They don't have a democracy in China. They don't have the separation of powers and checks and balances. They don't have to deal with the Congress. You see, the strongman, the Politburo, Hu Jintao, the president, he's the only one that matters. So what the Communist Party says, that's what happens. It's efficient, according to Thomas Friedman. That's the word that he used, efficient. It's the most efficient form of government. That's what they said about Hitler in the 1930s. The same New York Times. It's progressive. It's efficient. It's the wave of the future. Then it was Nazi Germany. Today it's Red China. That's what these liberals are. They love dictatorships and totalitarian systems. They love it. So this is Beverly Perdue. I know she wasn't joking. I read the statement. I know Beverly Perdue. Who jokes about suspending elections? Unless you're literally the biggest moron on the planet. You're literally like brain dead. And even then, you have handlers. No. She didn't stop it. Yank her off the stage. Yank her off the stage. Beverly, get her off. Get her off. No, she meant it. What happened was this. I'll bet you anything. She didn't have a lot of sleep. I cover politics. I'm telling you, go to sleep on this. Okay? I know when politicians make gaffes. She did not have a lot of sleep. She's been going a couple days without sleep. And somebody asked her a question, and your guard is let down. You know when you don't sleep enough? Things just sort of come out. It's unfiltered. It's uncensored. You know, son of a gun, I just wish we didn't have these elections, because I'm going to lose in 2012. And the Republicans in the House, they're just killing the Obama agenda. And these Tea Party people, they're going to sweep us from power. Why do we have to have elections? And it came out of her mouth. And she kept saying, and it came out again. And now it's all damage control. Now I'm looking at the websites. All the liberal media, what's the spin? She was joking. It's a joke, joke, joke. Oh, the right wing is making too much about it. Cooner's making too much about it. Savage Nation is making too much about it. Really? From the same woman who traveled to China and praised the communist Chinese system? What? I guess she got that idea from Hu Jintao. She met the communist Politburo. They said, hey, Beverly, why do you have elections in America? Better for you, better for us. We have no elections here in China. Why you have elections in America? And Bird Brain comes back and says, hey, he's got a point. Wouldn't it be great? Thomas Friedman is right. It's more efficient. Forget the people. We run the whole show. Chuck in Indiana on line 3. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Yes, you posed a question earlier about Mr. Kane.
Yes, sir.
And I vote for Mr. Kane. In fact, I registered as a Republican for the first time to see if he can't get the nomination. The reason I would vote for him, he's as real as it gets. He is an American, not just an African-American. I've listened to him on his radio show before he quit it down there in Atlanta for the past 4 or 5 years. And he says what most of America actually says and knows, not the liberals.
Chuck, we had Herman Cain for a personal interview at the Washington Times. Don't quote me, about a week, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, about a month ago, but we had him recently. He's engaging. He's very articulate. He's very passionate. He is a very good public speaker. This was off the cuff in front of reporters. He let it rip for 20, 25 minutes. He's a straight shooter. What you see is what you get. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Furthermore, I think his economic platform, his 999 plan to simplify the tax code, brilliant. I think he's dead on. I think he clearly has a very impressive entrepreneurial background. This man is a CEO. Dr. Savage, he's made many good lines, but this is one of the lines when initially when Donald Trump was thinking of running. Dr. Savage said this line, and only he could have said it so eloquently and so concisely, so pithy. Run America not like an empire, but like a business. Herman Cain's appeal is that he's telling Americans, let's run this country not like an empire, not like a socialist empire, but a business. Run it like Godfather's Pizza. You make a product that people want to buy, and you give it to them at the best price and the lowest cost possible. That's America. You take a risk, and if you do well, if you succeed, you reap the reward of that risk. And if you fail, you fail. Nothing or nobody is too big to fail. So stop the bailouts. Stop all of these gimmicky tax code, which is destroying private industry. Stop it with all this economic cronyism. Stop it with all this reckless deficit and debt spending. And furthermore, why is Cain shooting up now? I don't want to distract too much from the issue at hand, but it's very clear what happened over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Was Cain especially brilliant in the debates? No. In fact, I thought if anybody shone outside of the top two candidates, it was Gingrich. Let's be honest. He had some of the best one-liners. He answered some of the questions in a most articulate, powerful way. But Rick Perry had the nomination in his hands. He was the Tea Party favorite. He skyrocketed past Romney. He was at 32%. He was 12, 14 points ahead of Romney. It was now his for the taking. All he had to do was put in a couple of strong debate performances. I'm telling you, go to sleep on this, take it to the bank. Sarah Palin would have endorsed him, and it would have been game, set, and match. He would have had the whole Tea Party behind him. Romney is the establishment candidate. Perry wins in a walk. And instead, what did we get? A bumbling Texas governor, superficial, unable to give proper responses, unable to even put together two sentences together. Don't get me wrong. On economic issues, I think Perry is magnificent. His jobs record in Texas is phenomenal. On the issue of life, on social conservative issues, who do I think is going to pick the best justices? Compare him to Romney? I think it's no contest. Perry has a lot going for him, but instead he has made a huge mistake. His handlers have told him, Rick, Governor, don't shoot from the hip. Stop it with the Ponzi scheme to describe Social Security. Stop it with Ben Bernanke being almost treasonous. The liberal elites, the establishment, they don't like that. So they've packaged him. You notice he had the shoulder pads on in the last debate to make him look more like Reagan? Did you notice his hairstyle change to make him look more like Reagan? He's now coming across like a phony politician. He has not performed well in the debates. And so people are now saying, you know, I'm tired of these machine men politicians. Romney with his white teeth, he looks like a salesman and his coiffed hair. Perry with his shoulder pads and his Reagan fake hairstyle. I want a real man. I want an authentic man. I want a man who speaks from the heart. I want an American patriot. And I look at Herman Cain for all of his flaws. And believe me, there are some flaws with Herman Cain. He's not a perfect candidate. But he's an American. And that's what I've been looking for. I'm tired of being an African American or a European American or an Irish American or a Jewish American or a Mexican American. We're Americans. And he talks like American, and he talks like an American, and he speaks to Americans. And that's why he's doing so well. And I'm telling you, mark my words, I said this months ago, he is the dark horse in this race. He can shock the establishment. If he can get some money, believe me, Herman Cain is going places. Andrea in Delaware on line 4, thanks for holding. You are on the Savage Nation. Andrea.
Yes, hi, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Just a few quick thoughts. Governor Perdue, President Obama and the people he has chosen to surround himself with from the early beginnings to where he is now, he has intentionally, this is nothing new, he has intentionally created this culture of corruption, of making up the laws as you go, shredding our Constitution, and it is just, all it is doing is emboldening the other liberals that have been undercover, or whether they have not been undercover. It is just emboldening them. This is what we are seeing. We have been seeing it now for year after year, month after month. I want to speak to my fellow American patriots, whether you are a new legal immigrant, whether your creed, whether your race, whether your religion, please do not give up. That we come from strong stock. We are come from a wonderful country. We need to hang in there. We need to not back down. We need to use common sense and not let the heat of the moment discourage us. And
you nailed it. No, Andrea, listen, you put your finger on it. This is what they're counting on. This is what David Axelrod is counting on. This is what Rahm Emanuel was counting on. This is what Obama's counting on. This is what this Beverly Perdue is counting on. Wear us down. Shock, shock, shock. Trillion-dollar deficit. Trillion-dollar deficit. Obamacare. Illegal war in Libya. Apologize for America. Put your marching shoes on. Take these SOBs out. After a while, you want to numb the American public. You want to grind them down. That's what they're now saying to themselves. Let's just wear them out. And I'm telling you, take this to the bank. I'm telling you, all right? I'm in Minnesota right now. This is practically the center of the country, geographically. It's a purple state. It's not a red state. It's not a blue state. You want to talk about a barometer? You want to talk about a bellwether? This is it. This and Ohio. You want to understand America? How they're going to vote, go to Minnesota or go to Ohio. I have not met one person, and I've met a lot of people here, Minneapolis, St. Paul, other towns around Minnesota. They can't stand this guy here. There's nobody in Minnesota that I know that's supporting Obama. Democrats have turned against him. Liberals are turning against him. Independents are turning against him. He's going to get wiped out in Minnesota. He's going to get wiped out in the Midwest. They're staring at a landslide. If I'm a Democrat, listen, guys, it's up to you. It's your party. It's not my party. You guys want to go down in flames. Believe me, I'm happy to see you burn to the ground. I am telling you, you better get Hillary to run against Obama, because this guy is your political Titanic. The iceberg is 2012, and all of you are going down, especially Beverly Perdue. Her political days, they're numbered. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner taking more of your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. That's, of course, Hillary Clinton in front of an all-black audience. You know what? Maybe she's getting her marching shoes on, right to a primary challenge for the dear leader. But she's my gal. That's my Democratic primary choice. You just heard my gal. And by the way, she always talks like that. She always talks like that. The other English that you hear, the other cadence, that's the phony part. This is the real Hillary, what we heard right now. That's Hillary Unplugged. Mary in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Mary.
Thank you. Regarding the comment that the governor of North Carolina made, I think that we should say thank you for that piece of information, because now we can keep our guards up even more.
Mary, that's exactly what I was thinking earlier. I said, you know, just keep talking, Beverly. Keep talking, because the more you talk, the more we see what your real intentions are and what the intentions of the Democratic Party are. So now we know. They have been defaced. They have been unveiled. We now know what they really, truly think. John in North Carolina, you are the last call of the night. Go, baby.
Hey, good to talk to you, Jeff. Listen, just want to add a context to what the others from North Carolina have been saying about Bev Perdue. And I haven't heard this reported anywhere on the national media, but back in November, it was the Republicans took the House and the Senate here in North Carolina for the first time since 1898. So she's definitely running scared.
Oh, she's finished. I mean, politically, she's blocked by the Republican state legislature. Her poll numbers are in the dumps. She's going to lose in 2012. Pat McCrory, the guy who challenged her in 08, barely lost. The mayor of Charlotte, he's going to challenge her again, most likely, and he's going to beat her. And so, just like Obama. So they're all going down. The Obama machine is going down. The Purdue governorship is going down. And this is going to happen all across the country. So what did she say? She actually gave us a Freudian slip. She told us what they really think. Can't we suspend the elections? No, you can't, Beverly. And come November 2012, you and Obama and every one of you liberal Democrats are going to be swept into the dustbin of history. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. May God bless you, and may God bless the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. Savage.